Chapter 8, James, Learning the Hard Way. When James married Ellen at age 25, he possessed unusual physical strength and ability. He had grown strong and tall working on his father's farm. During the years immediately following the disappointment, his zeal for the cause propelled him along a course that made increasing demands on his time and strength. By 1865, he was president of the General Conference, head of the General Conference Committee, president of the SDA Publishing Association, active in writing, publishing, traveling, and filling appointments. In addition, he had been intimately involved in publishing the first of a series of Ellen's pamphlets, Health, or How to Live. On Friday, August 18, at age 44, he suffered a stroke of paralysis. Here is what led up to this. The next three sentences have been updated, 2018, for historical accuracy. After the General Conference in May, James and Ellen met up with Elder Loughborough, who was visiting various churches, when they got wind of a critical situation developing in Marion, Iowa. Providentially, they had just rescheduled the annual state conference and had planned to go together to Pilot Grove for that conference. As a result of most earnest labor there, the trouble was seemingly resolved, and the visiting workers were again on their way. But it took a heavy toll on James. James and Ellen had looked forward to a little period of rest on returning from Iowa, but were denied this, as they were called upon to contend with criticism and falsehoods. Then they faced an appointment with the church in Memphis, Michigan, across the state, just north of Detroit. A debt hung over the meeting house, and the members were discouraged. James White's presence was urged. Ellen White described the journey. When the time came to attend our appointment in Memphis, we needed rest of body and mind. A constant strain had been upon us for months. Yet we urged up our exhausted energies, arose at midnight, walked about a mile to the depot, and stepped on board the train which was to take us to Detroit. The meetings in Memphis were those of labor. My husband here performed the amount of labor which was sufficient for two men who possessed a good degree of strength. His vital energies were exceedingly depressed, yet his zeal in the cause of God urged him on presumptuously to exhaust, by overlabor, the little strength that remained. Our meetings closed on Sunday evening after 11 o'clock. We retired after midnight, and arose at daybreak to take the stage for the cars, train. The cars missed connection, and we did not arrive at our home till past midnight. My husband slept but little, and would not be prevailed upon to rest the next day. He thought his business required his presence at the office. Night found him exhausted. His sleep was broken and unrefreshing, yet we rose in the morning at 5 o'clock to take our usual walk before breakfast. As they walked that early morning hour, on Wednesday, August 16, they stopped for milk at Brother Lunt's home, and then stepped into the corn patch. Admiring the full ears, James plucked one and started to pull back the husk. Ellen, by his side, heard a strange noise. Looking up, she saw the face of her husband flushed, and then she saw his right arm drop to his side, helpless. He attempted to raise his arm but could not. He staggered, but did not fall. He was unable to speak. Ellen helped him into the Lunt home. Indistinctly, James uttered the word pray, and repeated it. Ellen reported later. We dropped to our knees and cried to God, who had ever been to us a present help in time of trouble. He soon uttered words of praise and gratitude to God, that he could use his arm. His hand was partially restored, but not fully. Physicians were called, but they had little to offer, either as to what might be done for him or encouragement that he would survive. 2 days later, Friday, August 18, James White was carried on a couch to his own home. The next Tuesday, as the Review and Herald came from the press, it carried a notice that Elder White had been stricken by a partial shock of paralysis.